great. I am so glad that you are here. You beautiful, shiny human, you. Welcome to this episode. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline Addington. And today is a solo cast. It's a solo cast. It's one of those plug in the mic and go episodes. So if you're new to the podcast, these episodes are typically pretty non-linear. It's just kind of like, you know, we're going with the flow. We're talking about random things that come to mind. It's a good old time. It's a great time. And this one specifically is about the behind the scenes of going viral, what that experience was like. Not so much the strategic side of things. There's not really a whole lot of strategy. There is some strategy, I guess. If you'd like that, I can create a podcast about that. But it's really more just about the experience of it, you know, what it was like. And then we kind of roll on into talking about the absurdity of life, not taking things so seriously, because after all, we're little ants on a speck of dust floating out in the void of space, and we're all going to die. So, you know, life is not so serious. We talk about that for a little while. And then we talk about living in the flow. And that's my favorite part of this conversation. So if you're bored with this conversation, just skip ahead to about minute 25. And by conversation, I mean solo cast, because it's just me talking to myself. I'm talking to you, but through the airwaves. It was just me sitting in my living room with a microphone. You know what I mean? So if you're bored with the conversation, the one-way conversation, at the beginning, I'd say skip ahead to like 25 minutes in and enjoy the ride, because that's when we start to really talk about some fun things, like not taking life so seriously and living in the flow. So I hope you love it. I hope you enjoy it. I hope that you take a lot away from it. I hope that you're having a fabulous day. Before we hop in, if you do love it, some great ways to support the continuation of this podcast. You can subscribe and write a review on iTunes. You could just send it to a friend. If you're like, man, this episode was really wonderful, I want to send it to my friend Darla. You can do that. That would be great. And you could also share it on your Instagram stories or on whatever social platform you frequent the most. And if you do that, tag me so I can say hey and be like, thanks for sharing. You're the best. Over at Instagram, you can tag me at caroline.addington_. It's really the only one where I am active because it's too much work to do other ones, and TikTok kind of creeps me out. Okay, I hope you love this episode. I love you. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you in there. Let's just plug in the mic, ramble for a bit. If good stuff comes out, we'll share it with the world. If it doesn't, then that's okay too. So that's going to be the vibe of this podcast. It's not necessarily going to be a strategic how to go viral. Maybe some of that will come out. There is no step-by-step. I mean, I'm sure that it surprises nobody. It's a stroke of dumb luck, and it's more just, do you have the puzzle pieces in place to be able to do your best to make the most of it when it comes, kind of thing. So maybe those puzzle pieces will come out in conversation organically, but that's not really the intention. The intention is more that it was a really big experience that took me on a ride. And that feels like it wants to be shared, you know? Like, I don't know. It feels interesting to share. So that's more the intention behind it. Then we'll see what comes out. It was an overwhelming experience. That was the original thing that made me want to sit down and record, was that it was an overwhelming experience. And I was perusing the internet to try and find, you know, accounts from other people who had gone viral, because there's a lot to be said for sharing our human narratives, sharing our stories. When I can hear from someone else, I had an experience similar to this and it was overwhelming, or it took me by surprise, or I didn't know how to deal with some of the, you know, really awful things people were saying in the comments. When we're able to share our stories, there's some kind of inexplicable magic in that. I'm sure that you probably know what I'm talking about. If you've had, I don't know, say that you got cheated on. Say that you got cheated on and you're feeling heartbroken. You're feeling confused. Maybe you're feeling a million things. And then you find out that one of your friends got cheated on. And they're like, yeah, I felt heartbroken. I felt confused. I felt a million other things. There's a magical little human connection and human moment, distinctly human moment that comes out of that, where we're able to see ourselves in someone else's experience and know that we're not alone, that everything we go through is a shared experience and someone else has experienced some flavor of it. Not exactly, not with all the same nuance and detail, but some flavor of it. And we get to be like, wow, yeah, I feel seen. That, you know, that expression, I feel so seen. I think that there's a lot of beauty in that. So that's the spirit in which I'm sharing this podcast episode and this rambling mind moment, is that I know that I was looking through the internet for story of what it's like to go, what it's really actually like to go viral. And I found some things, but I didn't find a whole lot. And so here we are making it. Another part of my brain that was hesitant to record what it was really like was the part of the mind that was saying, oh, but you should be so grateful. You should be so grateful. It's a good thing. It's a quote-unquote good thing because our society has decided that virality is a good thing, which is very interesting. That's an interesting thing all on its own. Why have we decided that's such a good thing? I don't know. I'm not sure. You know? There are some of the most impactful people I have spent time with are not on the internet at all. They're not on there at all. They're just wandering around in life, spreading good juju everywhere they go. Like they're impacting everyone around them in wonderful ways every second of the day just by exuding good juju out. You know what I mean? And that person, I'm thinking of one person in particular who's just, every single time I see them, it lifts my day. They're not always quote unquote happy, but they're always real. And there's something to be said for being real, you know? Realness is, oh man, it's so good. It's so good. That's definitely something, being real is definitely something that drives me and drives this brand for sure. Being real, like capital R, like Velveteen Rabbit real. Do you remember the Velveteen Rabbit? The Velveteen Rabbit is like a children's book. And I might botch it up, but the Velveteen Rabbit was all well-loved and kind of, you know, falling apart. And I think was like missing one of the buttons for its eyes or something. And was just kind of a janky looking rabbit, but it was a real rabbit because it had gone through life and it had been loved and it was happy with the way it was. And yeah, man, I should go back and reread that book. There was probably some like deep spiritual wisdom, existential wisdom in that book that we all like, you know, seeped into all of our subconscious as little kids. That's great. I love stuff like that. Like Star Wars. Star Wars, man. It's got the stream in it, you know? It tells the story of what it is to be fully human and to overcome, like walk the hero's journey, like the Joseph Campbell hero's journey. That's another thing that drives me forward and drives this corner of the internet forward, is wanting to carry the stream. I'm going to let you guys in on a secret. Uh-oh, are we giving it away? All right, if you're listening, Kat's going to be out of the bag. Should we do it? We're doing it. Okay. When I let go of personal branding things, social media marketing things, I was like, I really just want to like play on the internet and have fun and make silly stuff and be silly. But I wanted to carry the stream. Let me explain what that means. Carry the quality. Maybe you already know. You probably already know exactly what I'm talking about. Carry that quality of realness. Like, for example, one of my favorite bands is the California Honey Drops, and I just got to see them this weekend, and it was a blast. And the reason that they're my favorite band is when I go to see them live, they are living in the flow. They're in the here and now. They are enjoying themselves. They're doing what they love. They are spreading good juju. And they're just in it. They're carrying the stream. That beautiful, shiny little stream of magic and presence. That's why they're my favorite band. Because when I go to see them live, it's a reminder to go with the flow. And creating fitness content, I've been tinkering with and honing the craft, or at least doing my best to hone the craft of creating content that is just makes people laugh and is just kind of silly and just kind of goofy, but it carries the stream. There's like no fucks in it. You know, it's like a free flowing stream thing. Going viral has added a challenge to that. It's made it a little bit more difficult. In the last week, I've been a little bit more in my head creating this content. Which is great, you know? That's how we hone our craft. Whatever your craft is, whatever it is you're doing, whatever problem you enjoy solving that you're working on, whatever it is, whatever you're up to, whatever it is that your heart really enjoys. Honing that craft, as best I can tell, is just a matter of knowing all the ways it could go wrong and could go awry so that you can respond to all of the perturbations really effectively and without leaving the flow, without stepping out of presence, you know, like staying in the flow and then shit goes sideways, but you just zoop, you know? And for those who can't see, which is everybody, I'm moving my hand, like dipping and dodging, you know, you just like zoop, 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 dipping and dodging and weaving from all the obstacles and just responding with lightning fast reflexes. An example of that, I was just listening to an older Huberman Lab podcast with Ido Portal, whose heart path is all about movement, like the purest experience and expression of movement, movement as flow, movement as like, you know, the Tao, the ever-changing nature of life, and that our physical movement is just an extension of that. It's a great conversation. I've been listening to this conversation on and off for months. If you just Google Huberman Lab, Ido Portal, he spells his name Idoportal. He's Brazilian. I'm pretty sure he's Brazilian. Anyway, I'm at a point in the conversation right now where they're talking about how if you look
they've done all these studies. And if you look at the swing of a tennis racket, when it's being swung by an amateur, then the accuracy is like kind of all over the place, you know? And it looks like it's like this wobbly line, you know, it's like not a straight line. It's all wobbly. If you look at the swing of a tennis racket, and they're like tracking the swing with like little, like, you know, I guess RFID motion trackers or whatever. They're tracking the swing. If you look at the graphical representation of the swing of a pro, like Federer level tennis player, when you're zoomed out, it looks like a straight line. But when you zoom in, you see that there are just as many, if not more, perturbations. The pro is just able to correct them really easily and instinctively. And I think that I was listening to that and I was like, ah, that's so wonderful. I had to pause it and reflect on it, because what I took away from that was that being a master at your craft is not about perfecting the craft. It's not about getting better at the craft itself necessarily. But becoming a master of a craft is really about becoming better at responding to the inevitable fuckery that's inherent in human life, that's inherent in any craft that we would seek to master. You know, the fuckery is there. It's always going to be there. So mastery is not so much about perfection as it is instinctive and effective response to that fuckery. It's like in last week's conversation with Katie Casimir, and she was saying, you know, if someone were to come up and grab her in the streets, there's no way that someone could come up behind her and grab her that she hasn't been grabbed in a jujitsu role, right? So she's dealt with different forms of fuckery so much that she can just, wow, yeah, ta 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 ta. Because those are definitely the noises that she would make. 100%. If you're listening, Katie, I don't actually think that you would make those noises. That was a joke. But you know what I mean? She's dealt with that fuckery so often that she can respond instinctively and organically. So in that sense, I am really grateful for the virality, because it was a moment of, this is going to sound weird to call it this, but it was a moment of fuckery in the system, because it was overwhelming. I had a difficult time during that whole week of quieting my mind. My mind was really loud. My meditation practice went out the window, because it was just so, my mind was so loud and so scattered, and I was so plugged into the digital world, and there were so many people saying so many not nice things on the internet about other people and about each other and about me, and so my mind was like, blah, 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 blah. And so it was a really beneficial fuckery introduced into the system. And I handled it the best I could. Next time it comes, if it comes again, we'll do a better job, because now we know. But one thing that's coming to mind now that I definitely did want to share about was this. One of the things that I, you know, learned from the last like semi-viral reel about the fart jokes, you know, that one started to go, it was viral for me. It got like 120,000 plays, which was viral for me. And there was some bickering and back and forth and people taking themselves so seriously and taking the joke so seriously. That's the root of all the problems, is when we take ourselves too seriously. That's when things get sticky. You just can't take things too seriously. Things can be challenging and hard. Yeah, of course. But when we start to take it seriously, when we start to get it twisted, you know, and think that it's do or die and it's a serious threat and that's when problems start to spring up. That's when people get mean because they're reacting from some like primal psychological place that is afraid. It's afraid. You know, it's afraid of extinction. Whatever part of the psyche is like lashing back is afraid that it's do or die, you know? Oh, yeah. I was like, man, there was a thread. Let's go back to the thread. So the fart joke reel went viral, and it was it sparked some reactionary, very serious debate about the very serious topic of protein farts. Let me tell you, if you're not aware, friends, there's a very serious problem in the world that must be dealt with immediately. Otherwise, it's going to be the end of democracy as we know it. Everything is going to implode. It will be the end of life as we know it. The end of freedom as we know it. And that problem is people making jokes about protein farts. Ladies and gentlemen, we have got to stop this madness. We have got to stop this absolute anarchy that is people making jokes about protein farts. If you're out there doing it, please stop it. You're ruining democracy. You're ruining our freedom. You are ruining everything that we know and love about life. Okay? No more jokes about protein farts. I'm serious. Stop it. I'm not serious. I'm not serious. You can probably tell. People got so serious about protein fart jokes. And oh, man. It's funny, but it's also like, oh, man. You know, it's both. And in the same way, people got so serious about a wedgie joke. And it's funny, but at the same time, it's like, oh, man. And it's interesting as a creator of something to watch this spiral happen. And when the protein fart joke happened, I was trying to control it. I wanted to shut it down. I was like, no, none of this nasty stuff in my house, you know, like, no, not okay. I took it down and I was like, no, blah, 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 blah. And I reflected on it afterwards and I was like, whoa, I think that was me just trying to control everything. Maybe I should let things run their course and see what happens instead of trying to control everything, you know? Because we can't control everything. And the reality is, the more humans on the internet see you, the more there will be humans on the internet that don't like you who see you and don't like anyone, or there will be more humans who just like to pick a fight on the internet because that's a thing. That's a thing, you know? And if I try and control everything, then that's me taking things a little too seriously. So this go round, when the wedgie reel went viral, I love that the things that go viral are about fart jokes and wedgie reels because then I can't take it seriously. You know what I mean? Like I'm like, oh man, I'll get in my head. Oh, so many, like, you know, millions of people have viewed this and da 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 and wow, wow, wow. But it's a fucking wedgie reel. So I can't get too self-important about it. And I'm very grateful for that. You know, if it was a reel about, I don't know, like some of the stuff that I used to talk about where it would be like, just be yourself and don't worry about what other people think and da 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 da. And if I had like recorded myself saying something about that and then that went viral, it would be more tempting, I think, to get high and mighty. You know what I mean? To be like, oh, my ideas are really important and people must really like to hear my ideas or whatever, you know, something like that. But it's a goddamn wedgie reel and protein fart joke reels. And I really appreciate that because it's a reminder that everything is ridiculous. You know what I mean? It's a reminder that everything is ridiculous. Anything that we would try, anything that we create, anything that we're up to, anything that we're doing, it's all kind of ridiculous. It's all kind of ridiculous. It reminds me of one of the things that I am so attracted to about Burning Man. You guys, Jake might be interested in going to Burning Man now. I've been doing all my research and getting everything together to get ready for Burning Man of next year. Yes, I'm already getting things ready and getting them together because I'm a Burning Man virgin and there's a lot to get together as a virgin. I don't have my Burning Man kit ready to go in the garage. You know what I mean? I've got to like start collecting things and cultivating things. So I've been like doing my research and I was watching a documentary about the culture and the feat of engineering that is Burning Man the other night. And Jake stopped in and watched it with me. And afterwards he was like, what? I didn't realize it was that. When is it? How much are tickets? What do we need to do to prepare? And I was like, you're going to come? So that's really exciting. He might be coming with me, which is awesome. I love going on adventures with Bay. I love going on adventures, so whether or not Bay decides to come, I always go on the adventure, but I love it when he decides that he wants to come. So, anyway, one of the things that I love about, at least from the outside looking in, about Burning Man and like the Burning Man city and Burning Man culture is this loving mockery of the seriousness of society, where there'll be the Department of Mutant Vehicles instead of motor vehicles, or let me just make something up. I don't know. The Hysterical Association instead of the Historical Neighborhood Association, you know, or like just all of these, the names sound semi-legit, but also absurd. And it's a reminder that everything is that way. Everything is that way. Like, how silly is it that we got together as humans? We made cars in the first place. Like, that's a really cool, silly little art project. And then we were like, you know what? We're going to create an organization to regulate the cars. We're going to call it the Department of Motor Vehicles. Like, it's all silly. It's all silly. It's all silly. It's all absurd. It's all ridiculous. And everyone's just walking around pretending like it's not. So, yeah, all that's to say, I'm grateful that the things that are going viral are so blatantly silly that I can't take them too seriously. It's funny to be sitting behind the scenes over here looking at Instagram analytics and statistics and da 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 for fucking fart joke reels and wedgie reels. It's a reminder of what we're really doing here, which is playing a big old game to entertain ourselves for this tiny fraction of time that we are alive on a speck of dust that's floating somewhere in the suburbs of our galaxy that is one of trillions of small, seemingly meaningless galaxies. You know what I mean? Yeah. And when we start to take that seriously, things get so weird. And we're not here for all that long. You know, we're really not in the grand scheme of things. we're not here for hardly any time at all. And as a recovered and recovering serious taker, I used to take everything so damn seriously. When I was a scientist, y'all would have been like, fuck this girl. What is her problem? Walking around with resting bitch face all the time. Her energy is just telling me to go eat dirt because whatever she's doing, she seems to think is very important, very serious all the time. Like, oof. Yes. As a recovering and semi-recovered serious taker, I can tell you it's not a fun gig, and it's kind of a shame to spend our lives clamping down on life like that. It's like a just a tight butthole on life, you know? Life is wild and free and flowing everywhere, all around us, like rushing all around us. It's like a just mighty river everywhere. And it's kind of a shame to try and clamp down on that. We miss out on a lot when we do that. I do it too. I'm recovering. I'm not recovered. Semi-recovered. But recovering serious taker is a practice. It's an ongoing practice. Because it's so tempting. I don't know when we're taught it, that the answer to anything that feels fearful or threatening or stressful, that the solution is to clamp down instead of to let go. I don't know when we picked that up, how that came to be. Presumably there's some like evolutionary benefit to it, but maybe not. I don't know. But man, is it a practice, and is it a challenging practice to reteach ourselves, to unlearn the clamping down response, and to teach ourselves that when things are stressful or fearful or, to let go. Oh, it's hard. It's hard. I flopped. I failed that one in the viral week. I clamped down. So yesterday and today have been like my Mondays and Tuesdays are like my Saturday and Sunday. So yesterday was Monday. Today is Tuesday. I've been unclamping myself. to welcome the flow back. Because that's where the most fun is. That's where all the fun is. That's where all the creativity is. That's where all the best ideas are. It's in the flow. That's where it's at. That's where all the good stuff is. And truthfully, doesn't matter how many people are tuning into that experience. You know, especially when we're not clamped down, when we're in the flow, if you're a content creator, or it doesn't matter, whatever you're doing. When the flow is happening and it's not getting clamped down and you're in it and you're playing with it and you're having a blast and you're saying whatever the fuck you want to say, so long as it's not harming other people. Because usually when you're saying it from the flow place, it's a good thing. It's got good juice in it. You know, it's not harmful. It's loving. It's compassionate. It might be truthful. And so there might be some people who are like, but that's good. That's a good thing. Truth that makes people, you know, ironically clamp down. That's a good thing. Because eventually we clamp so hard that we just can't do it anymore. You know? A butthole can only get so tight. Who was I talking about this with? This was with Katie. I think this was in last week's conversation with Katie, that we can only constrict ourselves so much, but we can expand indefinitely. I think that was with Katie. It was in one of the podcast conversations recently. We can only clamp down on the flow of life and constrict ourselves and get lost in the mind and grip onto things and try and control things so much. I think we all have our different breaking points, if you will. And I also think that that breaking point changes over time. My breaking point, when I was in science life, my breaking point was so high. I would tolerate so much clamping down, so much restriction, so much constriction. I had such a tight butthole. It was such a high breaking point. And interestingly, our culture seems to reward that and celebrate that. Like, oh man, they're really doing it, which is such a silly thing. They're really like, look at them go. They're really, really something. So accomplished. So, so capable. So strong. It's so bizarre. So backwards and very, very silly. But I think, you know, once we hit a breaking point. Okay, you ready for my theory on adulting? All right, let's go. Once we hit a breaking point and we like can't do it anymore and we kind of unwind, we let go, we release, if we go along with that process of surrender, trust, letting go, I think the first time we go through that process, it's got to be it's a doozy. It's equivalent to the degree of tight buttholery, you know, because in science life, my breaking point was so high and I was such a quote unquote high achiever, which I'm sure so many of you can resonate with that phrase, right? Like, oh, such a high achiever, which, I mean, let's be real. I think in 99.9% of quote unquote high achiever cases, our buttholes are just really tight, and our breaking point for constricting and clamping down on trying to control life, like we can tolerate that. We tolerate a lot of that, which is not necessarily a good thing or a healthy thing or a productive, effective thing, right? That does that high achiever complex is, oh, you do such a good job at tolerating a restriction on life and the flow of life and being out of the flow. So when that breaking point gets hit, the first time it gets hit, say that, you know, your tolerance for tight buttholery is at 100. It's my theory, and it's been my experience, that in order to fully, complete that karmic cycle, if you will, we got to go to like -100. -100, letting go. The experience of trust, surrender, and letting go has to be of equal magnitude in the other direction. Kind of like a pendulum. It's got to swing equal magnitude in the other direction. And then the next time we tighten down, we clamp down on life, we take ourselves seriously, everything becomes very serious. We won't go up to 100, maybe we'll go up to 86. Actually, I don't know. Well, maybe, I don't know. We don't go all the way up to 100, you know, 86. And then we have another letting go, but we only have to go to -86 that time. And then the next time, maybe we go to 72. And the next time, 63. And the next time, 49. You know what I mean? It just... our breaking point becomes our tolerance for the seriousness and the clamping down on life and the constriction and the being out of the flow, having a busy mind, being lost in our overthinking state. The tolerance for that gets lower and lower and lower because it's not worth it anymore. We know what it costs. We know how unpleasant it is, and that it's not the way. It's not where all the good stuff in life comes from. It's not where joy comes from. It's not where the feeling of abundance comes from. It's not where true community comes from, deep love, creative expression. None of that comes from the tight butthole place. None of that comes from being out of the flow, from taking everything so seriously. And so I think each time we have a swing of the pendulum, our tolerance for that state becomes lower and lower and lower because it's not worth it anymore. You know that nothing of real value in life, like capital R, capital V, real value. The going back to the Velveteen Rabbit, you know, the realness. The things in life that we all actually love and cherish, and so many of us are seeking. And we think it lives in all these 3D things, and it doesn't. It lives in the flow. It lives in not taking things seriously. It lives in, you know, a quiet, peaceful mind. It lives in full self-expression. Full self-expression. Sitting down to record this podcast is part of my medicine for me right now. Because I know that if I sit down and I just let my mind wander free and I let my voice box speak the things out in an unfiltered way, that gets me back in the flow. It gets back in the flow, back into the play. And importantly, for all content creators out there, importantly, sharing it when it wants to be shared, it almost completes that cycle a little bit. Because how do I describe it? It makes it so that it's like the 3D real world out there, concrete act that reinforces that you're not taking things so seriously. If we were still taking things really seriously, then we would want to share these ramblings. You know what I mean? Because, oh, heaven forbid someone judge us as unhinged. Oh, good Lord. The internet's going to think we're unhinged. The internet's going to think that, I don't know, whatever it is that you're afraid that the internet might think. That, I don't know. Any number of things. I'm thinking of Bijou, the mushroom mamacita, who was on the podcast, who's a brilliant, wonderful human and psychedelic therapist. Her Instagram is at mushroom mamacita. I love her. I love her so much. And she comes to mind now because I can only imagine that when she decided she was first going to start talking about drugs and sex as ways to get into the flow and heighten your creativity and, you know, improve your relationships and all of these things, her mind probably was taking it so seriously. I can only imagine that her mind was taking it really seriously. And like, oh my God, what is the internet going to think? What is the world going to think? What is everybody going to think? I can't do this. It's going to ruin my reputation. Oh my God. You know? But when you, as a content creator, when you just share it, you reinforce to yourself, mostly. It's mostly reinforcing to ourselves. It's not that serious. Record the thing. Put it out in the world. Who cares? Maybe it's your best. Maybe it's not. Who cares? If you create something from the flow and it wants to go out in the world and you put it out into the world, it's gonna make some magic. Even if you never hear about it. Even if someone might be listening to this podcast and I don't know, maybe hopefully you take something away from it. But maybe no one ever even tells me, oh man, that podcast really changed the way I see. Or, oh man, it just brought me into the moment. Something about the way you were sharing on that podcast, like it helped quiet my mind and it brought me into the present moment. That's what happens for me a lot of the times. When I'm listening to something that was created from the flow, it brings me into the flow. Has that ever happened to you guys? Maybe it's happening to you now. Because this is coming from the flow. And when things are coming from the flow, they have this bizarre effect on one another. You know, when we as humans create things from the flow, they have this bizarre effect on each other where it brings other people into the flow. I'll look at certain pieces of art and I'm just captivated by it and I'm lost in it. And that's when I know, they must have created it from the flow. Because it's bringing me into the present moment. Beautiful, beautiful. That's my favorite kind of art, is the art that invites you to get lost in it. Like that favorite band, California Honeydrops, is my favorite band of all time. I will travel far and wide to see them because I know that going to see them is going into the flow alongside a lot of other people who like being in the flow. And it's the best time. It's the best time. It's what I imagine people must have felt like at Dead shows, like Grateful Dead shows, you know? And I think that that's why they had still have such an incredible community that built up around them and an incredible following, is people are like, when we're here together, and of course, LSD was happening at that time. So also that. But I mean, LSD was happening all over the place at that time in the US. But I think that the Grateful Dead was a band that would get into the flow and they would create in real time from the flow. And so everybody in the audience who was available to hop into the flow with them. Not everybody is available, but if they were, they'd hop right in. And that is such a memorable experience. That's why I love the California Honeydrops. That's why they're my favorite band, because I love being in the flow. It's my favorite thing. And they create an open invitation. They play from that place. They celebrate life from that place. They make music and they make art in real time from that place. And it's an open invitation to join. So, yeah. I guess the thing that wants to come out next is to say it's a beautiful thing to find what you love to get lost in. You know? It's like to find, quote unquote, find your flow. But it's... that is so elusive and so, like, it's such a maddening phrase, find your flow. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? You know what I mean? It is so elusive. So I'm going to try and put words to it, but it's like the whole, you know, the Buddha saying, fingers pointing, don't confuse the fingers pointing at the moon with the moon itself kind of vibe, you know, is that it's a felt experience. And you probably already know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've ever just been having a great conversation at a dinner party, I don't know, if you went to like a little garden dinner and there were awesome people there and you just got lost in great conversation with people, you're in the flow. You're in the flow. If you love working out and you have a moment maybe when you're like running or when you're on a bike. This is one of my favorite things about cardio. People hate cardio, but I'm like, it's so rhythmic that it can really bring you into the flow if you let it. Like, cardio is a little flow hack. You know, you have some experience maybe on a run and it was like the perfect weather outside and maybe you had like just the right song in your ears and it was on the same beat as your running pace, and we passed a, you know, happy human whose dog was adorable and the sun was beaming through the trees at just the right angle. That's the flow. That's the flow. You're in the flow. Or maybe, I mean, my podcasting, this is my flow. This is my flow. Podcasting. I like making content. Don't get me wrong, but I love podcasting. Podcasting is my flow. I just get to sit here and share, you know, share. It's like I'm like, I don't always record a podcast from the flow. I'm practicing. I'm honing my craft, friends. But on an episode like today, the experience is like just a joyful expression of whatever comes to mind without filter and just letting it roll, letting it go. It lifts the spirits. The whole thing is an experience in the present moment. You never really leave the moment. You're just noticing new thoughts that come into the moment and then sharing them. And then where does the mind go next? What does that remind us of next? And we'll just follow that and we'll go there. That's the flow. That's the flow too. Maybe you like painting or gardening or baking French pastries. It's all the flow. It's such a, I'm gonna cry. It's such a beautiful game that we're playing as humans to discover our flow and then be there intentionally. I was talking to my good friend and beautiful human, Wendell, who you guys have met. He's been on the podcast a couple times. And he was telling a wonderful story. I won't tell the whole story because it's not my story and I can't tell it as well as he can. But it did end in a Dolly Parton quote, which is to find what you love and do it on purpose. Find what you love and do it on purpose. I remember when I was first leaving the sciences, I was in such a hurry to find what I loved. I would hear people say stuff like that, and I'd be like, what is it? What is it? Maybe it's this. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. You know, what's my genius? What's my flow? What's my passion? What do I love? And I was on this like wild goose chase to try and find what I love and do it on purpose. Then that's part of it. It was maddening at the time. It was totally, yeah, it was maddening. But the journey is priceless. It is priceless, including the feeling of, you know, that maddening, oh my God, what's my flow? You know, oh my God, what is it that I love? Like, that wild goose chase, it's all part of it, and it's all priceless. And it changes. Sort of. Like the flow, it's just everywhere. It can be in anything. There's no one thing. So wherever you feel alive, wherever you have fun, and you're lost in it, let yourself get lost in it. Because that is where all the good stuff is. Okay, that feels like a good little place to stop. Cool. I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. I love you so much. It was about many things and nothing, as all good things should be. So, have a great rest of your day. Thank you for tuning in. If this brought you into the flow, if you're listening to it and you're like, oh man, I'm getting lost in this, send it to somebody, pass that on. Because the more people in the flow, the better the world is. All right. I love you and I'll see you next time.